The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everyone and a warm welcome along to the latest edition of the William Hill Racing Podcast. Dave Kellner here alongside Sean Quinn to have a look ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition of the podcast. First of all, a warm welcome along, Sean. How are you doing, sir?
I'm very well, David. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm not looking forward that much to Tuesday's racing, but I'm looking forward to reflecting on what we saw at the weekend with an eye for the future as well. How's the stable going? Is there anything we need to be aware of?
Do you know what, Dave? Last week was one of those weeks that was about as frustrating as it gets. So,
You're glad I brought it up then?
Yeah, I'm delighted you brought it up. But I suppose you've got to take the rough with the smooth. Well, last week was one of them weeks where we probably should have had three winners and came away with none.
Yeah.
So, you miss one winner, you're a little bit miffed. You miss three and... if there was a stable car, he was getting kicked.
Yeah, and you've got a slightly smaller string in terms of jumpers than you usually have.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
That's right. Probably the last two or three years that's been the case, but there are only 10 or 12 jumpers, so it's almost a case of when you go racing, you want to convert to Ashington and Project Blue Book finish second and third in the Hogmanay hurdle. That would have been a nice prize for one of them to have landed on. And then Dusty's Choice made his debut in a novice's hurdle at Newcastle on Saturday. And looked like he'd come to win his race, come into the last hurdle and made an absolute horlicks of it. Nearly fell. I don't know how he stayed up. Finished third. But when you don't have a lot of runners, if something goes wrong, you can't put it right the next day out.
Yeah.
With flat horses, we've got a significantly bigger flat string. If something goes wrong on a Monday, I can't wait for Tuesday or Wednesday because you know you're going to get a chance to put it right fairly soon.
Quick word on that race with Ashington and Project Blue Book then, because Ashington was very well backed and I thought he looked incredibly well handicapped as well.
Yeah.
He travelled so strongly into the race. You thought two out, I thought anyway. I was watching the race with alongside Luke Elder in the William Hill TV studio and I thought, Ashington's won by half the track here. It didn't quite pick up as I envisaged.
No, but I think if we could have the race back again, we'd do plenty of things differently.
Would you?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It was just one of them things where there was a difference of opinion and we didn't get it right between us on the day.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't blame the horse too much.
Do you think he's still a horse that is feasibly treated off that handicap mark then?
Yeah, I do.
And you think there's big days in the future?
I do, yeah. I think he's a horse could win a good handicap. I'm not sort of getting ahead of myself because he's only rated 121,
I think.
So, you know, you've got to be realistic. But that was only his fourth run. I think he'll have learnt a heck of a lot pitching in against the likes of Sir Chauvelin and Project Blue Book, horses that are good horses but have been around the block plenty.
Yeah.
So to run third behind them, even if that was only as good as he is, that was still a very good run.
Yeah, because I think some people might look at him being, I think he was sent off 13-8 in the end and think that was a disappointing performance.
Yeah.
But you don't necessarily feel that way.
No, it's not the horse's fault that he was that price, was it? He looked obviously well handicapped, but Dad and I were both very wary before the race of Sir Chauvelin, who's rated in the hundreds on the flat.
Yeah.
Had run well at Newcastle on the flat a few weeks before. And also wary of our own horse, Project Blue Book, who is a really good horse. He hasn't had the rub of the green, it's fair to say, over the past couple of seasons. But, you know, he was second in the Swinton Hurdle earlier in the season. He's a good horse when conditions are right for him. So I certainly wouldn't knock Ashington.
Were you surprised how short Ashington went off then? Was that a shock to you in the stable?
Yeah, because I don't think any horse with that profile should be 13-8 for a red hot handicap when you have the likes of Sir Chauvelin and Project Blue Book in it. But I think it was sort of punters were latching on and plenty jumped onto the bandwagon, didn't they? And you know, with him having won two out of his three hurdle starts, Brian Hughes was booked. It was an ITV race. There was probably more focus on it.
Yeah.
he was probably quite an obvious horse for plenty of punters.
Okay, let's have a quick reflection on what we saw at the weekend. I know you talked on yesterday's podcast with William Hill about Envoy LN and his performance. There's a likelihood, or there's a possibility, he might meet Fiddler on the Roof, who was very impressive winner of the Tolworth Hurdle. And I think the feeling is with Fiddler on the Roof that whatever he, it's a cliche, whatever he does over hurdles is going to be a bonus, because he does already look like a chaser. But Joe Tizard has said that novice hurdlers are their future after that Tolworth Hurdle on Saturday. And Colin Tizard will obviously have been delighted with the performance. Very well supported Fiddler on the Roof, was sent off 5-4 favourite, enhancing the form, in fact, of a couple of horses that have beaten him already this season, Edward Stone and Time Hill.
Yeah.
I love the look of Fiddler on the Roof. He's a huge individual and travels well, and he's got pace for 2 miles, and he can stay further as well. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think you've nailed it there, Dave, with Fiddler on the Roof. He's a big, scopey horse. Being a son of Stowaway, you'd have thought his future will lie over fences. That said, it's interesting that maybe he's just been something of a slow burner, but he actually ran quite moderately in two point-to-points.
Yeah, yeah.
It was only when he ran in bumpers for the for John Walsh and the Hyde family that he showed anything. And that was when he sort of had his big break, so to speak. He made a couple of hundred thousand after winning that Navan bumper in March of last year. There's every chance, being as big an individual as he was, he probably wasn't quite ready for four-year-old point-to-points. Them horses are asked to go and jump fences at a very early stage in their career. Now, some horses are ready for it mentally and physically, but I think Fiddler on the Roof probably wasn't. And he's just improving all the time. A lovely horse in that respect, because you don't know where his improvement might end. But that was a good performance in the Tolworth. He's going to need to pull out more in the spring, but the way he's improving is really impressive, and he's a horse you'd love to have in your stable.
Yeah, do you see him as a supreme novice hurdler then? He's 8-1, third in the market behind Envoy LN and Abracadabras in that particular market. Andy Dufresne 14s, along with Master Debonair 16-1 and bigger. The remainder, that's the supreme novices hurdle, and he's 10-1 to win the Ballymore novices hurdle. Obviously, Envoy LN is the horse a lot of people are focusing on,
yes,
in the novice hurdling division.
Yeah, and rightly so. He's the best around, and I think he'll head down the Ballymore route, all things being equal, Dave. So I wouldn't be surprised if Fiddler on the Roof actually did stick to 2 miles. Connection said afterwards, look, if the ground is very soft, we can go Supreme route. If it dries up, we can go Ballymore route. But the Supreme actually looks a touch easier at this stage.
Yeah, yeah.
And therefore, I wouldn't be surprised if Connections went down that route. Although Joe Tizard did mention after he won at Sandown that they have a whole host of nice novice hurdlers, and whether they keep them apart or whether they pitch them in against each other is undecided, but it's a nice problem for them to have.
Okay, and do you think that Fiddler on the Roof is a fair price at 8-1 in the Supreme Novice Hurdle, or do you think there's just going to be something that maybe outspeeds the horse on the dirt?
No, I think he's a fair price.
Okay.
I think that's about the right price.
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't say it's a terrible price anyway.
Okay, let's get stuck into Tuesday's racing action. Good team in the studio, as always, there is. Ross Briley, John O'Connell, Andy Holding to take you through the action from Taunton, Lingfield.
Surely
and
Ross
Suttle.
Isn't in charge.
He is in charge.
Is he?
Looking at this, that can't be right, can it?
He doesn't get left in charge very often these days, does he, Ross?
But he's in charge twice. He's in charge twice this week, actually, Ross.
We'll see how tomorrow goes first.
dangerous affair for the listeners. And by the way, on William Hill's Betting TV now, we've got full coverage of all the ARC tracks. So we've got Lingfield and Suttle free to air. Not Bet and Watch anymore, just free there to watch those races at Lingfield, Suttle if you want them, as well as listening to all the action from the three meetings. So, and I know you've picked out a couple of races that you can watch on William Hill's Betting TV for your selections as well. We'll start with the 1:15 at Lingfield, which is a novice's hurdle over 2 miles and 7 furlongs.
Yep.
And Oris Dale comes into the race in good form for John Joe O'Neill and John Joe O'Neill Jr., having won two of his last three starts, one in the bumper sphere, then going into a maiden hurdle, then only beaten 5 lengths, admittedly when sent off 11-10 favourites in a race at Newcastle back in mid-December. But are you going to take Oris Dale on, or are you going going with him here?
No, I'm going to take him on, although he's a horse that I have plenty of time for, and the fact that he handles quite testing conditions should stand him in good stead at Lingfield. It promises to be very testing there on Tuesday afternoon. He looks a horse who's all about stamina, so going up and trip by another furlong should suit him as well. But I thought that Springfield Fox ran really well at Southwell on his second start for Tom George 35 days ago. Finished second behind Boss Manfred. He actually looked like he was going to serve it up to Boss Manfred for quite a long way in that race. I was working on racing radio that day with Kate Tracy, who rides out for Tom George.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was very happy with how the horse ran, because she said he's been a little bit hot-headed at home and he can be a bit keen, and she felt that that run would bring him on. So he's a horse that I've sort of been keeping on side, keeping in my mind since then. And this is his first reappearance since then. So I thought that was a decent run. Boss Manfred isn't a bad horse at all. He comes back in trip by a furlong. That'll suit him. He was a forward-going horse. I'd expect him to try and maybe dictate matters in this small runner contest, and hopefully he can get the better of Orisdale.
Yeah, I like that. Springfield Fox then, the selection in that 1:15 at Lingfield. We move on to the All Weather at Southwell for another race you can watch for free on William Hill's Betting TV, and of course you can listen to the racing programme as well on William Hill Racing Radio. 5:15 Southwell this time. We're looking at the feature race on their card, £12,500 guaranteed for this 1 mile handicap. And Mossacar, who we've not seen since the 5th of November, is going to likely be the market leader or vying for that spot with Motowarfek here, looking at William Hill's early prices. But I know that you're keen to take on the front pair in the betting.
Yeah, although they're horses that I like. Mossacar looks a nice recruit for Ollie Pears. He's only had a couple of starts for the Pears team, but won really well here in Maiden Company back in November, beating Montalic by four lengths. And the handicapper left his mark unchanged on 78, which I think was quite fair, and may in time prove to be lenient. Motowarfek is a horse that I know a little bit about, because I actually underbid him at the Horses in Training sales prior to him joining Michael Appleby. He was with John Hammond in training in France. He won on his debut for the Appleby team, ran a stinker at Wolverhampton 11 days ago, but one can only assume that was too bad to be true, and you'd respect him. Given he's trained by Mick Appleby, you wouldn't be surprised if he's maybe been to Southwell at some stage to have a practice on the surface. But Glen Devon is a horse that is very well handicapped off this mark of 84. Yes, he's been a little bit out of form of late, but his two recent starts at Kempton were okay, and I think, being a son of Scat Daddy, there's every chance he'll handle the Fibresand. This is his Fibresand debut, but I think he'll handle the Fibresand, and he might just find these waters a little bit calmer than some that he's been competing in over the last 12 months. So Glen Devon, making his Fibresand debut, wearing the pieces for the first time, gets my vote in the 5:15.
Yeah, you should get a price around about 4-1 about Glen Devon as well, if you're taking on the front two in the market, Mossacar and Motowarfek, in that handicap over a mile, the feature race on the card at Southwell. Sean Quinn, I know you've done this 2 days in a row, so thank you very much for doing that for us.
No problem. Actually, yesterday's racing podcast, or the one for Monday, produced two winners out of two.
Oh, so did it really? You've hidden the headline there a little
I know. Well, I'm not one I like to shun the limelight, as you know, Dave.
Bearing the lead, as always.
Hopefully, one would do, but two would be excellent.
That would be very nice. Thank you to Sean Quinn for joining us on Tuesday's Racing Podcast. Make sure you tune into the show. Should be a cracker. Lots to talk about. We're live from 12:35 on William Hill's Racing Radio. It is Ross Brawley, John O'Connell and Andy Holding. And we're also live on William Hill's Betting TV throughout the course of the afternoon. We'll cover the meetings free to watch action at Lingfield and at Southwell. So make sure you tune into William Hill's Betting TV as well. Follow Sean's tips and maybe you'll have a winner, or possibly even two, on Tuesday. And we'll be back in the not too distant future. If you haven't bet, check out all the markets at williamhill.com, and we'll speak again very soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.